The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. We'll read this together where the print is in bold. John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, as I mentioned, last Tuesday here at church, we had a grief and loss seminar, which we are going to continue on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. for anyone interested. Some of you here this morning were there Tuesday night. It was led by Pastor Al Johnston, the founding pastor of Christ the Vine. Pastor Johnston lost his wife to cancer 9 years ago, and also worked as a hospice chaplain for a number of years in the Yakima Valley area. He's talked to thousands of people who are dying or whose loved ones are dying or have died. I was struck by something Pastor Johnston said. He mentioned that it was very common for him to talk to people of sincere Christian faith who indignantly asked, "Why is God doing this to me? Or why is God allowing this to happen to me?" As if God had no right. As if suffering were the antithesis of faith. In other words, they expressed the idea that anyone who has faith in Christ should be able to expect to be shielded from this kind of suffering and pain and heartache. Is that true? Well, I think it depends on the basis of your faith. It depends on why you believe what you believe. Our readings today reveal a very particular basis for the faith of the apostles. The interesting thing is that very often modern day Christians, people like us, we base our faith on something completely different. And it makes a huge difference. Here's what I mean. In Acts 5, shortly after Jesus had ascended into heaven, his apostles remained in Jerusalem, and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, for a time, they were able to perform some of the same kinds of miracles Jesus had done. In fact, the people of Jerusalem were so confident of Peter's power to heal, it's recorded how they would carry the sick outside and lay them on cots and mattresses in the streets, hoping that Peter would walk by and cast his shadow on them and heal them. During this period of time, the popularity of the apostles was so threatening to the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of 70 who had crucified Jesus, that one night they arrested all the apostles and threw them into prison. But later that night, an angel of the Lord freed them from prison and instructed them to gather in the temple courtyard and proclaim to the people the gospel of Jesus. Well, the next morning, the captain of the temple guard went to retrieve the apostles from prison and bring them before the Sanhedrin. But the apostles weren't in prison. They were found instead in the temple courtyard already early in the morning, surrounded by a large crowd. Well, afraid to arrest them in front of this crowd of people, the temple guard persuaded the apostles to come and stand before the Sanhedrin, where the high priest demanded, as he had demanded before, that they quit proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And that's where it picks up in our reading from Acts 5 this morning. We start with verse 29, I believe, where Peter stood before the Sanhedrin and exclaimed, "We must obey God rather than men." And then Peter went on to explain to those directly responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus exactly why he had faith in Christ. And the reason for his faith was fascinating. Peter could have told them about how Jesus made him feel, how his heart soared because though he was a lowly fisherman, Jesus spoke new purpose into his life, telling him, "From now on, you'll be catching men, not fish." Or Peter could have told them how special Jesus made him feel when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus told him, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." Peter could have told the members of the Sanhedrin about the absolute thrill of seeing Jesus transfigured on the mountain with Moses and Elijah and the feeling he had of wanting to stay there forever. But Peter didn't do that. Peter did not defend his faith by explaining the wonderful way Jesus made him feel and suggesting to those members of the Sanhedrin that Jesus could make them feel wonderful too. He didn't do that because he understood that feelings are subjective. They come and they go. Instead, Peter explained that his faith in Christ was based on facts, on objective reality. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Peter's faith was based on the facts. And the critical historical fact that put the stamp of authority on everything Jesus said was his resurrection from the dead. You know, we've got Duccio's great painting from the year 1320 or something, Doubting Thomas, projected here. You know, I think Doubting Thomas from our gospel lesson has gotten a little bit of a bad rap. I think his downfall is in not believing the testimony of his brother apostles. But I don't think there's anything wrong with Thomas's insistence on examining the evidence. Neither did Jesus think there was anything wrong, apparently, because he showed up and let Thomas examine him to his heart's content. You know, so often we base our faith not on objective historical fact, not on the truth claim that Jesus rose from the dead, but rather we base our faith on how we feel. All of us human beings are emotional beings, and our feelings are subjective. Meaning sometimes we feel great and sometimes we feel lousy. Sometimes we're brimming with confidence and sometimes we're oozing doubt. And how we feel tends to correspond with how things are going in our lives at the moment. When we're suffering, when we've experienced loss, when we're hurting, often that's when our faith flags and we start to doubt everything. The funny thing is, it's in our times of pain and failure and doubt that God often does his best work in our lives, building faith within us through our suffering. He did it for the apostles, and he does it for you. Times of struggle are not times to give up. They're times to have hope and faith. No matter how you feel, Jesus rose from the dead, and so will you. My mother-in-law, Marmot, everyone calls her Marmot, everyone. Her great-grandchild calls her Marmot, her children call her Marmot. Well, Marmot was cleaning out closets recently, and she mailed us a photo that she found from years ago. When I saw it, all kinds of memories and emotions returned to me. It was the day our oldest son, Evan, was born. Marta was in the hospital bed holding Evan, and 2.5-year-old Taylor was sitting in the bed with her with an expression of absolute glee that she had a little brother, which is completely appropriate for the world's best big sister. Well, in this photo, I stood next to them with a deer in the headlights look, because that was one of the greatest days of my life and one of the worst. That was right smack dab in the middle of our hard year, as we refer to it. At that moment, I was unemployed and filled with shame and fear and doubt. But regardless of how I felt that day, God raised Jesus from the dead, and I was going to heaven. Not only that, everything worked out. In fact, it worked out better than I could have ever expected. God did not abandon us. In this life, we're sure to have ups and downs. triumphs and failures. Certainly times of struggle and sadness and loss and pain. Sometimes bitter, excruciating pain. But that does not for one moment negate the fact that God loves you and will never leave you or forsake you. It does not cancel the promise that He will be your help in times of trouble. It does not erase the reality that God has forgiven you and loves you and continues to forgive you and love you. Well, how can you be sure of that? Well, not because of how you feel, but because of an actual historical event that can be examined and verified. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we all trudge through life, sometimes sprinting, sometimes stuck in mud and muck and mire, Lord, help us to realize and always keep close in mind that Jesus rose from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, we are forgiven and we too will rise from the dead. It's a fact. It's an historical event. And we can base our faith on it. And should. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.